Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, covering a post-game Rockies victory. They secure a big W over the Washington Nationals in D.C. 3-1, their second win in a row. In fact, their third in the last four games, getting themselves ever so closer to not pacing for 100 losses. They're still in the midst of going towards 100 losses, but I think they might still need three or four more wins in a row to finally be at a spot in which they're on pace to only lose 99 games. The last time that happened was August 21st of last year. So we are on the precipice of being at exactly a year in which we can definitively say their win percentage is pointing them towards a 100 loss season. Nevertheless, big win, a big thumbs up for the youth movement. As we saw, the return of Nolan Jones, strong play once again from Jordan Beck, but a save for Angel Chivigi, the first career base hit for Drew Romo. We're going to break all of that down. The return of Brenton Doyle back to his hometown in a way. But let's get things started with our man from the thumbnail, Nolan Jones, and the return of the lost arm. Been on the IL with the low back issue and even held out possibly for a few more days for the birth of his first child with his fiance. So congratulations to Nolan, to his fiance Morgan, their daughter Cameron. So I think she's doing better, which is obviously positive. And at the end of the day, these are just games. There is real life. There are real people that we're talking about here. So Nolan Jones, first start since coming off the IL on Sunday. He's plugged into left field, and you had, for the very first time, a starting outfield of Nolan Jones in left, Brenton Doyle in center, and Jordan Beck in right field. The future looks bright for the Rockies outfield. So these three guys, if these are going to be the three guys, because we know down in the minors, there are a lot more outfield prospects. Charlie Condon, probably the best, definitely the best of all of the remaining outfield prospects. He's got a way to go, but we could be looking at this core sticking together for the next five more years that they've got, five more full seasons together. So that's obviously great news, I think, for Rockies fans, for the organization. Brenton Doyle showing that he's got himself a bright future. Nolan Jones, after that rookie campaign last year, this has been frustrating for him. He talked to us on Sunday about, you know, this wasn't how he drew up 2024. He thought it was going to take another step forward and try to forego somewhat of a sophomore slump. Brenton Doyle doing the exact opposite of a sophomore slump. I mean, if you want to look at players from 2023 who are rookies, I don't think any rookie has had a bigger jump over the past year than Brenton Doyle. I mean, everyone from the National League that where it was in the top four has struggled. I mean, Yuri Perez got a third place vote. He's been on the shelf. Corbin Carroll, he's gone through his struggles. James Outman, who finished third for the Dodgers, he of course got shipped down to the minors. Kodai Senga, haven't seen him for the Mets. So it was a bit of a cursed year in the American League. I mean, Gunnar Henderson did a nice job getting himself to the home run derby, starting at shortstop in the All-Star game, but has had a really quiet June. And I think Bobby Witt Jr. has shown himself to be more of the class of the American League shortstop, a little bit better than Gunnar Henderson, certainly a lot more consistent. But Brenton Doyle, man, no sophomore slump for him. If anything, a sophomore ascension to another level. Nolan Jones, unfortunately, injured, not able to join Doyle in that progression, and talked about that on Sunday, saying, you know, I wanted to be out with Doyle, putting up 20, 30 home runs like he's doing, stealing 20, 30 bases like Doyle is doing. So this was certainly was not how you drew it up, but I mean, that's life for you, right? Life is what happens when you're busy making plans. John Lennon said that, not Pete Rose. Seems like it could be a baseball quote, but it's not John Lennon. So good to see Nolan Jones back on the field, made two really nice plays. Critical play, in fact, in the eighth inning to get Tyler Kinley out of somewhat of a jam. Alex Call had a double on second base with two outs. Boom, Nolan Jones comes in with the sliding grab, making it look easy, making it look healthy as well. making sure that the Nationals did not score a run there. It was 3-1 at that point, so that wouldn't have been a game-tying run, but nevertheless would have given the Nationals a little bit of momentum against that Rockies bullpen. So nice play defensively, then offensively in the sixth. That was the game-winning RBI. That actually used to be a stat. I think it was in the early 80s. Major League Baseball said, hey, here's something that can get people excited, the game-winning RBI. In this game in particular, it came in the sixth inning. A single by Nolan Jones put the Rockies up 2-1. They did not look back. They eventually did get a third run across home plate. So, yeah, that was the game-winning RBI for Nolan Jones. So, nice job getting back into the fold, feeling comfortable contributing to the Rockies' 3-1 victory over the Nationals on Tuesday night in D.C. As I mentioned, you had the outfield of Jones, Doyle, and Beck. Seems hard to believe that they have not played with each other. They've played around each other, but just they've never all been healthy at the same time. Doyle, of course, has been healthy all year, but you had Jones going on the IL. His final game was April 28th for his injury with his back, and then Beck came up 2 days later on April 30th. Then you had Beck injuring his hand on May 25th, and Jones didn't return to the lineup until June 14th. Jones went on the IL. Beck came back early last week. Now they are all together. You might have seen I posted over on X at Patrick D. Lyons that on Saturday night, you saw the young boys out there in the starting lineup. That 1-9 against the Padres featured three players age 23 or younger. Jordan Beck, age 23, Drew Romo, 22, and Ezekiel Tovar, at age 23. It was the first time the Rockies had a lineup including three players age 23 or younger since 2008, 16 years ago. Who were those three? One was a superstar. One was a star for the organization and is remembered fondly. The other one, not quite so much. The superstar, Troy Tulowitzki, at age 23, nearly 24, but still age 23. Dexter Fowler, the fan favorite, the team-laden star, 22 years old, and then Ian Stewart, age 23. Of course, he was eventually traded to the Cubs in the DJ LeMahieu deal, but nevertheless, three young players there, and we actually saw it again on Tuesday night with Romo in the lineup once again, starting behind the plate, catching the veteran in Austin Gomber, who looked great and sort of wished I was on this road trip to hear what Gomber had to say about the work Drew Romo had done behind the plate with the pitch calling, blocking, framing, all those things that a young catcher needs to do to earn and gain the trust of a veteran starting pitcher. So nice job by Romo there. As I said, you had the three outfielders together for the first time. Michael Tolia over at first base. Everyone on defense except Austin Gomber, who is exactly 30 years old. Everyone on defense under the age of 30. This is the youth movement taking shape. And I think there's been some discussion amongst the fan base of like, hey, let the kids play. And there are some kids playing and go, well, Brenton Doyle, I mean, this is only his second year. So that's kind of like letting the kids play. He's 26 years old, but he's a sophomore. Okay, he's earned his spot in a second year big leaguer. Well, let's see some more of the young guys. And so, okay, Jordan Beck now playing regularly. Okay, Drew Romo catching two out of the last three games. And now Michael Tolia over at first base once again in an impressive way. Tuesday night, 54th consecutive team game that he started at first base. The longest stretch for a Rocky since Todd Helton's 64-game streak in 2006, Andrés Galarraga holds the franchise record with 99 consecutive team games at first base, going from July 24th, 95 into May of the next year. So what's the single season record? I'd be curious of that. But nevertheless, if Tolia starts the rest of this season, he'll hit consecutive game number 90 on the final game of the season against the Dodgers at home. And then if he starts on opening day of next year and continues, that's only going to be 9 games to tie, 10 games to break that record for 100 consecutive games started at first base. He'll tie Galarraga's record on April 6th. That'll be at home against the Oakland A's. Strange way to start your home opener against the Oakland A's. And then he'll pass that mark He'll pass the Big Cats' consecutive games started at first base mark on Tuesday, April 8th against Milwaukee, also at home. So looking ahead at the calendar for next year, two dates you might want to mark down should all things go well for the remainder of the season. So that question, has this really been a youth movement? Have they turned it over to the kids? I think just now and just barely they've done that. We've talked before about Jake Cave with his 130 or so plate appearances since the end of June. Sam Hilliard getting a lot of playing time. Hunter Goodman less than 75 at-bats since the start of July, since the end of June, really. Okay, he's a young guy that deserves to get a lot more playing time. Well, with Elias Diaz being placed on waivers and let go, and Drew Romo now coming up, and two young starters in the rotation in Tanner Gordon and 23-year-old Bradley Blaylock. Angel Chivig, it's hard to get used to. It's two L's, but it has a G sound. Angel Chivig getting opportunities late in ball game. So yes, he's been a part of the bullpen, but he's a much more integral part of that bullpen, being used in more higher leverage situations. So yeah, I would say that we are now at this point in which the Rockies are turning over this team to the young players. And Michael Toliu, who's been a part of this team for the last 2 years, has he been given the opportunity to play every single day? No, not until now. We still got to wait to see what he can do, what he's capable of over a full season. Can he cut down on the strikeouts? Can he continue to hit for power? Can he hit for a little bit more average? Can he draw a few more walks here and there? He's been showing the certain proclivity to be able to do that. So that's been positive. Have they turned it over to the youth? Yes, they need to continue to do that going forward here over the final 6 weeks of the season. So that's something to be hopeful for, right? We've talked plenty about the farm system, and you know how good they are. And until they're up here in the majors making an impact, it only means so much. You really have to do it on the big stage for the varsity squad in Denver for the Rockies. And right now, a lot of these young guys are doing that. Going back to the 3-1 victory over the Nationals, Ryan McMahon came up clutch in the first inning after you had Blackman and Tovar starting the game off. So did Brent Doyle. I think he was there too. He had a hit. But McMahon, RBI single in the first, needed that. Needs even more. But 9-for-78 in the second half since the All-Star game. Can't pin it on the home run derby jinx. He didn't participate in the home run derby. He'd kind of been cooling off as we had gotten closer to that All-Star game there in Arlington. So hopefully this is a bit of a turnaround for him. Rockies need him in the lineup offensively. We know what his glove can do. We know how his glove plays. We know how integral that defense can be for Rockies pitchers to trust that a ball hit down the line, the ball hit to the left side like that, needs to be gobbled up and producing an out, and McMahon is able to do that. We need more on the offensive side, right? That's a lot of what the coaching staff has been talking about, and Bill Schmidt even saying, hey, we need more from McMahon offensively. So maybe this is the turnaround for that. Maybe this is the start. Brent Doyle, two hits, back home, quote-unquote, raised about 45 minutes outside of D.C. in Virginia. A lot of his family in the building, in the ballpark. You saw some big smiles out of him playing a nice defense out in center field. There was an odd patch of grass that was about the size of a car. Like if you would imagine, if you were to trace the outline of a car like that size, I don't know what's going on out in center field, but that did not look great. So if you go back and watch highlights, or you go watch the next 2 days, see if you can keep your eye on that. It's just to the left of dead center field. So Doyle doing a good job navigating a less than clean playing surface, if you will. Drew Romo, as I mentioned, he had a big career first. He struck out in his first three appearances, didn't look great at the plate, but he did pull through with a single in the ninth inning. Fun moment where, you know, shaking the hand, saying, hey, can I keep that ball? His eyes were as big as saucers. He was excited. Ron Gideon was excited. He gets the ball, tosses it in. PJ Pilater, the assistant hitting coach, gets the ball, walks into the dugout, and Cave gestures like, hey, yeah, throw it in. Throw it into the crowd. And Pilater, you know, gestures like he's going to throw it over the fence. So a nice bit of teasing there. You can definitely have a lot more fun when you're winning. Romo getting thrown out, stealing immediately on the first pitch after that. Blackman ended up singling in that at bat. So, you know, that could have been a squandered opportunity to get an insurance run. But hey, as we, as my high school baseball coach loves to say, no harm, no foul. Shout out to Coach Al Brenner there at Monsignor Donovan. But, you know, great 3-1 victory. And I think a lot of that credit for the win, you know, three runs isn't a ton, but on the road at sea level, that can only get the job done if you get a great performance from your starting pitcher. And the Rockies had that tonight. They had that from Austin Gomber, who was dealing in a big way. Seven innings pitch, had only given up, you know, one hit early on and gave up a second one midway through the game. Eventually CJ Abrams tagged him for a home run in that sixth inning, still went out, pitched a 1-2-3 seventh inning. Going into the start, Austin Gomber was tied for the fourth most home runs allowed in the majors this season, second most in the National League. Home run number 25 off the bat of Abrams to center right center field ended up tying him. I think Andrew Abbott has also given up 25 home runs this year since 2020. Where he was with St. Louis during that pandemic season. But since 2020, he's now given up 92 home runs. That's third most in the National League. Has given up 60 solo shots during the span, 32 long balls with runners on. So, look, he'll throw that curveball up on the moon, and you can get away with it from time to time. And Gomber has had plenty of starts where, you know, at his lone run or the lone bit of offense that the opposing team is able to get comes off of a home run. And you know what? If you can work around the other innings, so be it. That's fine. So Gomber, seven innings pitch, only gives up three hits. Second time in his career going at least seven innings and giving up three or less hits in a game. So length and effectiveness from Austin Gomber. Tyler Kinley in the eighth, scoreless frame. And then in the ninth, you didn't have Victor Vodnik, who you expected. He's the team's closer, tied for the most saves in August in the National League. But no, Angel Chivig, after getting his first career win on Sunday, in his very next game, gets his first career save. Has that ever happened in the history of baseball? I don't know. I'm waiting for that tweet to come out by someone, Elias Sports Bureau. Sarah Langs, where are you? We need you. We've got to find this out for the young 23-year-old right-hander out of the Dominican Republic. In the ninth, he strikes out James Wood, the big bat that I told you about in the series preview earlier today. Avoids that big bat. He walks pinch hitter Joey Gallo, who had just come off the IL, give up a single to Luis Garcia Jr. Gallo goes over to third base, but nevertheless gets out of that jam. Justin Lawrence was warming up once there was runners on first and third with one out. But gets out of that jam, and Chivig, big smile on his face. He's got that slow heart rate, has the poise, has composure. That's going to be important. Now, based off what we've been seeing, you would hope that's going to translate into a guy that's going to be dependable going forward. Does that guarantee you anything in 2025? No, because we know relievers can take a step forward, then two back, then three forward and one back. But you do have a young reliever here that you feel pretty positive about. There are guys that are down in the minors, maybe not so much for the Rockies because we know those numbers can get skewed at AAA Albuquerque in the Pacific Coast League. But guys that can do it in the minors, but when they get in front of the big bright lights of the major leagues, it doesn't necessarily translate. Well, so far, so good. It's been translating for Chivig. So that could be another arm that you can count on and rely upon going forward. I know a lot of people thought that the last year or two when it came to Justin Lawrence and Jake Bird. Now you might not feel as great about them. I do tend to think that Jake Bird still has a lot left in the tank. I think Justin Lawrence can make certain changes that can allow him to get back to being an effective relief pitcher, maybe even a closer. So that's four guys right there. If you do have Bird and Lawrence to go along with Chivig as well as Victor Vodnik there. So again, future is looking really positive going forward. The Rockies certainly may have something there. And Bud Black has something going for him. Will he be back next year? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I have my opinions, but As you may or may not know here on the Rockies Insider or from my work in the past, I don't typically offer up my opinions. I offer up facts. I try to be as objective as possible. I'm gonna let you know why things might go well, why things might not. Here's the positive for this. Here's the negative. This could be a good idea. This might be a bad idea. Time will tell. So we'll have to wait and see. I think Bud Black may be back for next year, but again, his deal runs out after 2024. We'll kind of wait and see what happens. But nevertheless, he's going to finish out this season as the manager, no doubt about that. But we are just 2 days away from Bud Black managing his 1,160th career game with the Rockies. He will pass Clint Hurdle for most games managed in franchise history when he does that. Right now, he's at 523 career wins, leading the Rockies. That's second most in franchise history. That puts him just 11 wins behind Clint Hurdle. 12 will put him ahead. Can the Rockies win 12 more in their final, 38 or so games, 36 games? Yeah, oh yeah, I think so. I mean, that's pretty much the pace they've been on at this point. So by the end of the year, you know, Bud Black will be number one in most all-time wins as a Rockies manager and most all-time games managed as a Rockies manager. Would have probably been ahead of Hurdle in both instances had we not had a pandemic and not had a 60-game season, right? That's another 102 games plus another 40 or so wins there. So Bud Black doing it in a big way, and Rockies with the big 3-1 victory over the Nationals. Couple things real quick before we head out. Minor league minute, Mason Albright, the lefty that came over in the CJ Krohn, Randall Grichuk trade last July. He earns Eastern League Player of the Week for the previous week. I think our buddy Stephen Rice mentioned that on one of the two parts that we recorded on Monday. Make sure you check both of those out. Somewhat evergreen, right? I know for me, I don't really like to go back even like 2 days to listen to certain shows, depending on the timeliness, unless it's just one of my all-time favorites. And I think what Stephen Rice had to offer up about prospects is evergreen. It's something to go back on. Even in 2 years from now, you might want to go back and say, hey, what was the lowdown on some of these prospects? Did this guy ever come to fruition? You know, and Steven's given his rites of passage, Steven's stamp on this prospect saying, yeah, you're going to see him pitching at Coors Field or patrolling the outfield for the Rockies. Did that ever happen? And so just a day or two removed from that conversation, I definitely think you should go back and check that out. But Mason Albright, 7 shutout frames versus the Yankees AA affiliate in Somerset. Only gave up 3 hits, walked none, and struck out 3. In AAA, Elias Montero. Yeah, he's still a thing. I don't think we're going to see him again for the remainder of this season. I don't know if he's going to be with the Rockies next year. I was actually quite shocked at the time when he was designated for assignment and waived. I thought for sure someone would have picked him up and seen him as a project. I still think he's very capable of hitting 25 home runs in the majors. Could be a good candidate to go over to Japan next year. Maybe he comes back and he's like the Eric Thames of 2026 in the majors. Could be. But the dude can rake, right? Maybe he's quadruple A. Maybe. But he's raking down in AAA. Recorded a 110-mile-an-hour double just this past week at Round Rock, the 9th hardest hit by an isotope this season in 35 games in AAA. Dude is batting .370 with a .678 slugging percentage. 10 home runs in those 35 games. He's reached base in all but 4 of those games. Jeff Criswell, a guy that was acquired a couple off seasons ago as a starting pitcher from the Oakland system. Kid who went to the University of Michigan was teammates with Carl Kaufman. We haven't seen him make his debut. Don't know that we will, but he's been converted to a relief pitcher. He's been really solid over 5 August appearances, 2.57 ERA. Through the end of July, he had a 6.75 ERA. Hadn't taken really to the relief position, but he's been doing much better. That is something that guys can struggle with, going from a starter to a relief pitcher, switching up their stuff, knowing that, hey, I only have got a couple opportunities to get things right. It's not length. I'm not going to set a guy up for a second or third at bat. This is going to be a one and done kind of situation. So Criswell doing a lot better in general. The other catcher down in Albuquerque, Willie McIver, 14-game on-base streak dating back to July 26th. Seth Halverson, who is a pitcher you could see for the Rockies over the final month. I think there are two, maybe even three relievers that have a better shot at getting an opportunity, mostly because their time to be on the 40-man roster is now ahead of this winter's Rule 5 draft, and Seth Halverson does not need to be added just yet. So despite maybe having a better resume and more justification for right now being a part of that 40-man, he may have to wait his turn and get behind either a Jaden Hill, a Dugan Darnell, or now a Luis Peralta, who just came over in that Jalen Beeks deal from the Pirates. He was just promoted to AAA, and he's having a real breakout season. So I think any number of those three guys, Peralta's probably number one now on that list, just one phone call away down in Albuquerque from making his debut as a reliever for the Rockies in the month of September. But Seth Halverson, keep your eye on him. Dude's pumping 100 miles an hour. He's been scoreless in three of his five AAA appearances since being promoted earlier this month. He's looked solid, two walks to 10 strikeouts. So he's filling up the strike zone. That's definitely a positive. We know Bud Black likes his guys that are throwing strikes. And then just to jump on some more guys in Double A, we'll take a pass on the guys that are in High A and Low A right now, because we're almost certainly not going to see them this year. We'll spend all offseason talking about them possibly getting a major league invite to spring training. You could see that once guys are done with High A and once they're approaching Double A, even in that season, they do get the opportunity in February to report to spring training, to big league camp. So you could see that for someone like a Kyle Karros or an Andy Perez. But Chase Dolander, you know, he's been the dude, the Rockies' number two prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, the top pitching prospect in the system in his five starts in Double A since getting promoted after making the start for the National League squad in the Futures game, has a 1.37 ERA with the Double A Hartford Yard Goats, 26 and a third innings pitched, four earned runs. He tossed seven shutout innings this past week against Somerset, three walks, 9K. So, also deserving of that Eastern League Pitcher of the Week award. Scoreless over his last two starts, 13 innings pitched, seven hits allowed, four walks, and 15 strikeouts. Yes, that will absolutely play. And a guy that our buddy Stephen Rice said just yesterday, talking about someone who is overlooked, Angel Chivig, he said, was a guy to keep your eye out for that the Rockies like and the Rockies will be giving opportunities to, and he will pull through for them. He was right about that a year plus in advance. He said that he's given that blessing to Zach Agnos, closer for the Double A Hartford Yard Goats. He's posted a 1.65 ERA across 15 relief outings with the Double A Yard Goats, six walks to 21 strikeouts. You like that kind of ratio. Scoreless in three straight outings with one hit allowed, one walk, and six strikeouts. Maybe you see him in Albuquerque for the final week of the season, but Zach Agnos definitely is another one of those names to keep an eye out for. And I would tell you to keep an eye out for this item online, not on eBay. And I think the auction is actually done. I need to check right now. Did somebody actually meet the minimum bid? They hadn't earlier today. You know what? They were waiting to snipe in. And yes, 12 bids. They all came in late with $10 bid increments. So what's the item I'm alluding to? Well, the ball that Brenton Doyle robbed of a home run off the bat of Jerks and Profar in San Diego a couple weeks ago, apparently now they're auctioning off those baseballs too. That's a good thing. Pretty much any baseball that is thrown once or hit once, boom, it's going in the dugout. It's getting authenticated. It's getting a sticker put on it. You can go scan that code that's on there and find out what pitch or pitches or what play that ball was used in. That's a pretty cool feature. I think the Rockies have that. I know a lot of teams do, where you go, it might be $20, maybe $25, maybe it's more than that. But you get a baseball, a mystery baseball. You don't know what it's from, who hit it, who threw it, but you can scan that code and find out when that ball was used. Well, this was a special baseball, as I said. It was caught by Brenton Doyle, robbed a home run. If you remember, jumping up, smashing against the wall, He ran a long way to get it to rob his former teammate in Jurickson and Profar. Well, there was an auction that was put out there, and the starting bid was at $130, and there was only a couple hours left, and no one had put a bid on it. And I was kind of shocked, but it's okay. All right, I guess people aren't putting a value on that. No, it did sell $200 for that August 2nd game. Jurickson and Profar flies out to center fielder Brenton Doyle in the bottom of the eighth. MLB authenticated Brenton Doyle home run robbing catch. I believe that is posted over on X at Rockies_insider if you want an image of the ball, if you want an image to that link. Maybe there's other items you can get from that series or from the Rockies. You definitely can check that out. Make sure you're checking me out on Twitter, X, TikTok, Instagram, Threads. Yes, doing the Threads thing a little bit too, if you prefer that over X, at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, at Rockies_insider, the Rockies Insider podcast, the Rockies Insider on YouTube channel. We're just getting started. Every view goes a long way, so recommend it to some folks. I think there's something for everybody here, not even if you're just a Rockies fan. Hopefully you're learning a thing or two about baseball in general, gameplay, the history of the game, fun little things around the game, merchandise, memorabilia, all those things. Try to bring a little bit of a buffet for everybody. But if you are a hardcore Rockies fan, hardcore baseball fan, I think you're going to like what I'm doing and what we're doing with Just Baseball at the Rockies Insider. So I appreciate you joining me. Appreciate you leaving a review anywhere you are consuming this, because I need that kind of momentum, because it gets me going. Because you know that momentum is only as good as my next show. So I will talk to you then.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.